as you are able and begin to locate the 20th chapter of the book of Exodus, I want to send a very special welcome to a brother near and dear to my heart today. If you are Greek, affiliated, part of the Divine Nine, you know that you love your fraternity, sorority. If you came through undergrad, you know that there's something real special about your chapter. And within your chapter, if they bear your number, that's called your spesh. I'm glad today to welcome number 4 from my old Isaiah. Where's my number? We're from the same chapter. Brother Quad, it's good to have you in the house today. That is my number from my chapter. And I love him. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. If you turn there, you ought to find something that looks a little familiar to you, even if you didn't know it was in Exodus 20. And those are the Ten Commandments. And I want to read in your hearing in this month of rest, beginning in verse number 8. And if you're physically able, won't you stand that together we might reverence the reading of God's word from Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse number 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, not even your cattle or strangers who are within your land. Because in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Do me a favor, before you sit down, play preacher, just touch somebody, tell them it's time to rest. Something very insightful happened to me a few weeks ago while taking my 2 sons to the pediatrician to get their annual exams in preparation for a new school season. After we went into the doctor's office and they were weighed and measured, after their fingers had been pricked and the blood had been drawn, after the last few immunizations had been given, Stephen, the doctor, sat down and said, I want to talk to you about your son's development. That the idea was not simply to check their height and weight and blood pressure, but with teenagers, you want to make certain that they're developing along certain standard guidelines. So he sat down, Dr. Gunn, and she said, well, let's talk about your oldest son, Howard John Deuce. He's 14, he's 6'2", he's 3 inches taller than you. He almost weighs as much as you, and he can wear all of my clothes. She asked me a question about his development. She said, what does he like to do? And before he could answer with a lie and say, read, I jumped in and gave the real answer. I said, I'll tell you what he likes to do. He likes to sleep. Because that boy can sleep. Anyone here who's ever raised children, remember those teenage years, especially if you had boys? There are 2 things 14-year-olds are good at: eating and sleeping. Dr. Gunn, this boy sleeps more than anyone I have ever known. If he's in the car, Will, for more than 5 minutes, he sleeps. When he gets home, before he does his homework, he goes right upstairs, closes his door, and goes to sleep. I brought him here to the office with me the other day to hang out with Dad. I had a quick meeting down the hall. I came back in the office. This boy was stretched out on the floor under my desk, and guess what he was doing? He was asleep. And I asked the doctor, I said, why does he sleep so much? He can go to bed at 10 o'clock and not get up to 2 in the afternoon the next day. Why does he sleep so much? And this is what she said to me. Because he's growing. And he only grows when he sleeps. He only stretches out when he's resting. He's only fully becoming what God made him to be when he slows down, he's not moving as much, and he rests. It's been proven they grow more in the summer because they've slowed down. And it amazed me that God has made us in such a way that we grow the most when we rest. That we're becoming stronger when we slow down. That somehow or another we become more fully what God desires us to be when we learn to say no and we learn to sit still and we learn to rest. Maybe that's why the commandment to rest is so important that God slips it in the top 10 list, the 10 commandments. You know the 10 commandments. God has delivered Israel out of Egypt, only to find out that these people have no idea how to be in relationship with him. And so he begins to form covenant community by giving Moses 10 laws to give to Israel to say, listen, as you begin your walk with me, here are the top 10 things I need from you. As you begin this thing called faith and following God, here's what I want you to do. And notice as the structure of the 10 commandments unfolds, 6 of them, Kevin, are about our relationship with one another. What God is trying to suggest is that you cannot claim to be in a relationship with God and not work at being in right relationship with everybody else. This is not a you and God thing. This is a you, God, and us thing. So notice what God tells them. Hey, don't kill nobody. Don't steal from nobody. Don't sleep with nobody's wife. Don't covet everybody else's stuff. And the one I heard most growing up, and honor your mama and your daddy. I heard that one all the time. The first 4 commandments are meant to govern our relationship with God. And God starts them off by saying, listen, remember, I'm the God who brought you out of Egypt. You didn't get here by yourself. You didn't just wake up blessed. You didn't just do it all by the sweat of your own hand. Everything you have, everywhere you are, whatever you achieve, you have to acknowledge God is behind it. That the Lord has brought me here. And the Lord says, when you remember that I brought you where you are, here's what I want from you. Number one, don't put anything or anyone ahead of me. Number two, don't worship anything your own hands have made. Number three, don't take my name in vain. And number four, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This 4th commandment is probably the most misunderstood commandment of all the 10. Because in the body of Christ, we spend more time debating what the Sabbath day is than what we're supposed to do on the Sabbath day. You don't believe me? Get a rookie Baptist in the room with a rookie Seventh-day Adventist. And within 5 minutes, they're going to be arguing over what the Sabbath day is. Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? And we spend more time trying to understand what day it is than what God calls us to do on that day. The word Sabbath, y'all, is so much more than what day you choose to worship. Sabbath in English is derivative of the Hebrew noun Shabbat. And like most Hebrew nouns, its etymological origins. I'm in school, Gerald, you know I gotta. The origins of the noun are in a verb. Sabbath comes from the noun Shabbat. Shabbat is rooted in the verb Shavath. And Shavath, where we get Sabbath, literally means cease. It means rest. 2018 translation, if you don't sit down somewhere. And God's commandment in the top 10 to the children of Israel is, y'all better sit down somewhere and rest. And the reason God pushes rest on his people He says in verse 11, the reason I want you to Sabbath, the reason I want you to Shabbat, the reason I want you to cease, the reason I want you to rest, the reason I want you to go sit still somewhere is because that's what I did. I worked for 6 days and then I rested. Beloved, the reason we miss the importance of this commandment is because we fail to see this is the very first time in Scripture we are told, be like God. The commandment to rest is the first time God says, be like me. And to be like me, here's what I want. Yes, I want you to walk by faith, but that ain't number one. Yes, I want you to love your neighbor, but that's not number one. Yes, I want you to worship, but that's not number one. Yes, I want you to read your Bible. That's not number one. Yes, I want you to bring your tithe to the church, but that's not number one. The first way we are commanded to mimic God is to rest. That holiness begins when you make a decision to rest. Now, that's a word because for many of us, holiness has been equated to a whole lot of other stuff. We equate holiness to what you wear in church. And holiness church is when women can't wear pants. That's holiness. Or maybe we think holiness is whether women can wear jewelry in church, or whether you got the little doily on your head when it's communion Sunday, or you know, some churches say it's a sin for women to wear makeup. Now, I think it's a sin for some women not to, but that's just my opinion. Dean Wallace, I'm going to get an email on that one. Yes, get an email. Beloved, holiness does not begin with the attire. Holiness is not about whether you drink wine or not. God says the first commandment to be holy is to mimic me, and the first way you mimic me is by resting. That you Sabbath. Sabbath was serious business to the Jews. 90% of the debates Jesus got in with the Pharisees were around how you operate on rest. Sabbath was so critical to the Jews. When you read Exodus 31, you'll find out Sabbath and breaking Sabbath was a capital offense. If you didn't rest on the Sabbath day, you could be stoned. Some of us are going to Israel in a few weeks together. And when you get there, you're going to find out how seriously they take Sabbath. From sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, you're going to be in a different world. Let me share with you how different it is. Redessa, when you get to Israel, on Saturday, when you get on the elevator to go to your room, the elevator is going to stop on every floor automatically. It will stop on every floor. It's going to take you forever to get to your room. Let me tell you why it stops on every floor. Because Sabbath is so real for the Jews, they consider pushing an elevator button work. And so the elevators are pre-programmed on Saturday to stop at every floor so the Jew doesn't have to work and press a button to get to their room. It's going to take forever, but they're serious about work. You don't work on Sabbath. Honoring Sabbath is even in the foundation of American society. How many people are familiar with blue laws? Okay, if you're under 40, you have no clue what I'm talking about. Blue laws. Blue laws were laws that were written in colonial American times that restricted certain behavior and certain business on Sundays, because Sunday was Sabbath, the rest day for the Lord. So if you were old school, you knew you were raised on Sundays, and you knew, or at least your parents knew, the liquor store wasn't open on Sundays. Because Sunday was the Lord's day. And if the liquor stores were open, they didn't open till 2 o'clock. Now, why did liquor stores open at 2 o'clock? Because that's when church is over. And you ain't supposed to drink till church is over. Blue laws. Did you know up until 1985, in Texas, it was illegal to sell a washing machine on Sunday? Because washing clothes was work. And you're not supposed to work on Sunday. So up until 1985, Sears could not sell a washing machine in the state of Texas. You may not know this, but in 13 states today, it is illegal to buy or sell an automobile. In 2018, 13 states, you cannot buy a car on Sunday because it's a violation of Sabbath. Sabbath is so serious, that's why you can't go to Chick-fil-A after church. Right? Because Samuel Truett Cathy, the founder of Chick-fil-A, was a staunch Southern Baptist who believed that Sunday was the day to worship and to give to God. And so he closed his million-dollar, billion-dollar franchises and demanded that any Chick-fil-A that bears the name be closed on Sunday so that the workers can worship. Worship and rest were serious. And even in America, where we are serious about the separation of church and state, since the foundation of blue laws, the U.S. Supreme Court has consistently ruled that blue laws are constitutionally valid. That businesses, entities, and organizations have the right to shut down on Sundays to honor the day of rest. Rest is constitutionally sound, it's biblically mandated, and it's God modeled by God. The omnipotent, sovereign God chooses to rest. Not because he has to, but he wanted to. And then God says, and I want you to make the same choice. Resting is a choice we have to make. And the reason God pushes rest on us as a choice is really threefold. Number one, in order to be fruitful, you have to rest. In order to be fruitful in the eyes of God, you have to rest. Hear me, God called us to be fruitful. We choose to be busy. And the reason God tells us to rest is that God knows busyness is not good for us. Busyness is not being fruitful. Busyness is not good for us. And see how quiet it got? Let me tell you why it's quiet, because you live in D.C. And we know in this region, you got to grind. In this region, you've got to hustle. In this region, you ought to be entrepreneurial. You ought to be climbing the corporate ladder. You ought to be moving from GS-12 to SES. You ought to be moving up in rank in the military. You ought to be moving up in salary. That in order to survive in this area, you got to be busy. And we have equated busy with being important. Because if you ain't grinding, you're not important. If you don't have no hustle, you don't belong here. As a matter of fact, go to someone tomorrow and ask them how you're doing and watch. Someone is going to tell you the list of everything they've got to do because they believe if I am busy, I am important. I just asked if you were okay, and you're going to give me a whole list of all the stuff you got to do. Busyness is not fruitful because busyness is connected to stress. Come here, come here, come here. I know you want to shout, and he got up early Sunday morning, and the praises go up, the blessings come down. But what does it mean to shout and still leave here with your blood pressure high? To still, listen, Busyness is not fruitful. Busyness is connected to stress. And the one thing I guarantee you, a stressed out saint is a poor witness to God. If people see you stressed out, ripping and running all the time, few short patience at the end, about to cuss everybody out, how does that witness to God's peace and joy and love in your life? People see you stressed out, and you know what they say? If that's what being a Christian is about, you can keep that. Don't nobody want to be like you? God says, I expect you to be fruitful, not busy. And it's so easy to succumb to the temptation of busyness. I did it when I first started pastoring. I first started pastoring in 1998. I was 26 years old, didn't know a thing about pastoring. But that church accepted me, and I walked in and said, we're going to do this thing. We're going to build the kingdom of God. And I went to work. And William, I was doing something every day. Bible study on this day, preaching on this day, visiting the sick that day, deacons meeting on the next day, leadership development the next day, getting ready for Bible study the next day. I was moving, doing everything every day because I'm busy for God. And I walked up on an old member, Deacon Narcissus Garrett. She said to me, Pastor, you look tired. You need to rest. I gave her the spirit chance, Sister Garrett. I can't rest. The devil don't rest. The devil is on his job. I got to be doing my thing because the devil don't quit. We got to tear down the kingdom of Satan. We got work to do. And she said to me, why is the devil your role model? The devil may not rest, but God does. And God commands us to rest because we cannot be fruitful if we're burnt out. I'll give you an example. The Bible says about the earth that as long as the earth exists, there'll be seed time and harvest time. And what that literally means is that God's created the earth in such a way that whenever seeds are sown, a produce will emerge, that soil is fertile. But farmers know you can't sow every season the same field because eventually the field is robbed of its nutrients. So there's an agricultural term called fallow. Let the church say fallow. Fallow, F-A-L-L-O-W. Fallow is the understanding of the farmer that I can't sow this soil every year. There's a season when I have to let it rest. Because if I keep sowing in that soil will not produce. The soil needs to rest. Dirt needs to rest. Now, the reason you ain't shouting, because you forget what you are made of. That when God shaped you, God formed us out of the dirt of the earth, and the same dirt that has to rest to produce is the same dirt that you are. And God says, in order to be fruitful, you have to rest. Somebody say rest. You can't be fruitful if you don't rest. Number two, in order to be free, you have to rest. Stay with me here. Most of us believe that for the entirety of human history, human civilization and culture has marked time by a 7-day week. It's so natural to us that we think that's the way it's always been. But you need to know, different societies did not always hold to a 7-day week. As a matter of fact, Egyptian culture in antiquity held to a 10-day week. That every 10 days, the cycle started again. So when God calls Israel out of Egypt, he's calling his people out of a 10-day week and says to them, I'm redefining the week as 7 days. Stay with me. That the first act of freedom was for God to reorient their perspective of time. You've got to see time differently as a child of God. And what God's trying to do in Israel that God still does in us is to make certain you know you should never be a slave to time. This is good right here. When God frees Israel, make certain you read correctly what God told Moses to tell Pharaoh. God sends Moses to Pharaoh, and the message God gives Pharaoh is this: let my people go, comma, that they may worship me. Because in slavery, in the 10-day Egyptian system, they never had time to worship God. So God's commandment to Pharaoh is, change my people's time, because my people need time to worship me. That what I consider Sabbath is the freedom to worship God, because if you can't worship God, you're not truly free. The first sign of your freedom is you being able to allot time that you give back to God as you worship God. And if you are so busy that you never have time to worship, you're not a CEO, you're not a grinder, you're not an entrepreneur, you are a slave. Because those who are truly free can mark out time that they use to give back to God. So God says this: remember the Sabbath day, take time to rest and make it holy. Your rest time ought to be holy. The time you take off ought to be holy. Somebody, you ought to be whispering ouch right now, because we look forward to time off for all the wrong reasons. Can I preach it right here? Let me tell you how I know it. Because we get so excited about the weekend and time off that ain't holy, but we put God on the front end with a little acronym that we holler on Friday. It's called TG. Go help me preach, IF. On Friday, people get so excited about the weekend, they say, thank God it's Friday. They thank God because brunch is coming. Thank God happy hour's on the way. Thank God I'm going down to see Beyonce and Jay. Thank God I get a weekend getaway. No, how you gonna thank God it's Friday if you ain't gonna thank God on Sunday? That it's about having time to worship God. God says, here's why I want you to get excited about the weekend. Not for brunch, not for happy hour, not for vacation. You ought to get excited on Friday because Sunday's coming. And when Sunday comes, I'm going to take some time to worship the God that brought me out of my stuff. Is there anybody here that's just glad for the chance to worship God? I'm making a decision to worship God. Listen, I know this is going to bother somebody. Sunday ain't the day to sit at home. God's been too good to you. If it wasn't for God, you wouldn't have the job that gave you the money to buy the car. But now you're going to spend the Lord's day washing the car that the Lord gave you through the money God blessed you with the job you had. Girl, you better drive that dirty thing, park it right on down the street, and walk yourself up into the house of God and tell the Lord thank you for how good God has been. How dare you sit at home on the Lord's day and not worship the God that's been good to you? Because if you don't keep it holy, you're a slave to something or someone. So God said, this is why I demand you to rest, why you got to take some time off. You got to do it to be fruitful. You've got to do it to be free. And watch this, you've got to do it to walk by faith. Hear me, beloved. You cannot say you trust God and burn yourself out. You cannot say God is the source of my life and work every daggone day. That literally rest is an expression of trust and faith in God. So when God commands Sabbath, it shows up in Exodus 20. But the first time God tells Israel to rest is in Exodus 16. Dr. Gunn, in Exodus 16, here's what's happening. Israel is walking through the wilderness, and they can't provide for themselves. So every day, God sends manna. They're waiting for Tuesday's manna on Tuesday. They're living from manna to manna, check to check. Somebody say, been there, done that. Ooh. They literally need the next dose of manna to make it. And God said, that's cool. Listen, you can work and collect the manna on Monday, on Tuesday, on when you can do that, 6 days. He said, but on the seventh day, don't collect no manna. On the seventh day, don't work. And I'm sure there are those in Israel who say, hold on, we need manna every day. If we don't work on the seventh day, we'll have nothing to eat. And God said, listen, I told you not to work on the seventh day because I got it. And I need you to trust that I know what you stand in need of. I need you to rest and believe that when you aren't working, God is working. That when you are resting, God is still providing. That when you take a step back, God still has his hands on it. I need you to trust me. And rest is a deep expression of faith in God. I don't have to climb every day. I don't have to stress every day. That there's some moments I decide to step back and know that God's got it. I can take some time off. I can go on vacation. I don't have to worry about it. I can let Judy preach. And God will still be God. When you trust, you instinctively rest. And if you're not resting, maybe it's because you're not fully trusting in God. My dad taught me how to drive when I was real young, 15. And Dr. Gunn, he taught me all the rules of the road. He taught me how to predict traffic patterns, how to keep some safe space on my right in case I got to get over. Told me how to judge when I'm too close to a car. Showed me everything I needed to drive. I got my license when I was 16. And I remember shortly thereafter, my parents and I were traveling to the state convention. And we had to go down to Memphis. We were going down to Memphis, straight down 55 in Chicago, straight highway, just stay on 55. And my dad was like, how are you going to drive us down to Memphis? 4-5 hour drive, you need to learn to get some time behind the wheel. So I got in the car, we're driving down 55 on our way to Memphis. And about half hour into the drive, I looked over and my dad was knocked out. I mean, he was knocked out asleep. My mother noticed it and she started tapping him on the shoulder. Alvin, Alvin, wake up! She said, how is driving? How are you gonna be asleep with him driving on a highway? You got to wake up and watch what he's doing. Don't you be going to sleep with him driving. And my dad said, the reason I can sleep is because I trust him. Because you see, when you trust who's driving, you ought to be able to rest. When you trust who's in control, you can sit back. I want to leave you with a bumper sticker I saw in a car once, and maybe it applies to someone who's got trouble resting. The bumper sticker said this: if God is your co-pilot, you need to switch seats. If God is just riding with you, then you're too busy. But when you let God be in control, you can rest. Somebody say rest.
Rest.
To be fruitful, to be free, and to walk in faith. God, and I pray that you would define rest for my sister and my brother who received this word. Someone who's come in stressed out, someone who could barely worship, thinking about everything that has to be done for the rest of the day. Lord, teach us to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That there's time I only give to you. That I worship you and I rest. And I can rest because I trust that when I'm not there, you are. When my hands are idle, your hands are still strong. When my eyes are closed, yours are wide open. So I choose to rest. In Jesus' name, amen.